This is Joan Crawford with a welcome to Stars Over Hollywood, presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk. And here is your host for Carnation, Art Ballinger.
Welcome to Hollywood, home and workshop of the world's most glamorous people. Each week, Stars Over Hollywood is brought to you by Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk. And today we present transcribed When the Police Arrive, starring Joan Crawford. Ladies, when you buy milk, remember that no other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Yes, it's Carnation bringing you Stars Over Hollywood. And speaking of stars, here's Miss Joan Crawford.
Hello, Art. I'm delighted to make another appearance on Stars Over Hollywood, and especially in this particular story.
How's that, Miss Crawford?
Well, it's one of those tense dramas that I always find it a challenge to play.
Your latest picture, for instance, is Sudden Fear.
Yes. And it's the kind of a drama we used to call a thriller. In fact, it's so exciting that the first time I read the script, some friends rang my doorbell about 9 o'clock at night, and I was afraid to open the door.
Well, the most reassuring thing, Miss Crawford, is that whatever type of drama you turn your talent to, we can always be sure of an excellent performance. And if you'll permit me to make a comparison, dependability is one of the qualities that has brought such wide recognition to Carnation Evaporated Milk. You can always count on Carnation to transform ordinary dishes that call for milk or cream into something deliciously special. Here's the reason. Carnation evaporated milk is heat refined to promote smoother blending of recipe ingredients and finer flavor results. It's a richer flavor you get with Carnation, for Carnation itself, undiluted, is more than double rich with the consistency of cream. And like cream, it's heavy enough to whip. Mixed with an equal amount of water, Carnation is still richer than any state standard for bottled milk. Yet, it costs far less. It's time you discovered the wonders of Carnation for cooking. Why not get several cans next time you shop? Carnation, the milk from contented cows. And now, Act One of When the Police Arrive, starring Joan Crawford in the role of Florence Jennings. Curtain going up. The room is a picture of comfort and serenity. Its well-appointed furnishings blend softly with the picture of velvet lawns and orderly gardens that can be enjoyed through open French doors. Here, then, is a setting to be enjoyed at leisure by the privileged class. Now, add to this scene a slender, attractive woman in her early 30s and a handsome gentleman beginning to gray at the temples. A perfect picture? Yes, except for one glaring note of discord. Sprawled across the carpet, an empty glass near her outstretched hand, is the crumpled form of an elderly lady. The man and the woman stand staring down at the body. Then the woman speaks.
Henry?
Yes?
Why don't you say something?
What is there to say?
Isn't it delightful? Look at her. Did you ever think you'd really see her this way? Henry, what do you suppose it's like to be dead?
I'm sure I don't know.
What are you going to do?
Call the police. Operator, the police department, please.
Dear Aunt Mildred. Do you want to hear something amusing, dear? I think I'm going to miss the dear soul.
Police department? I want to report an accident.
A suicide, Henry. A suicide.
Well, actually, a suicide. Mrs. Mildred Eldridge. No. I don't know exactly. 210 Manchester Heights Road. Henry Jennings. Yes, I'll be waiting.
Well?
Nothing to do now but wait, is there?
You know, I've been thinking.
Mind if I have a drink?
No. Darling, how should I act when the police arrive?
On second thought, I think I'll wait.
You know, it's very important how I act. Do you think I should cry?
That's the usual thing, isn't it?
Imagine crying about Aunt Mildred. But it really is important how I take it. If I cry, there just won't be any tears, I know it.
Then I wouldn't cry, dear.
What about laughing? There's a possibility they could mistake it for hysteria.
Florence,
Do you really have to do something?
But of course, darling, I just can't clam up. They wouldn't expect it.
Or would they? Well, it's a thought. They'll be coming soon. And I still haven't made up my mind how I should act.
Just relax, Florence.
Henry, what if we've made a mistake?
It was too simple to make a mistake.
But we could have missed some little detail. And it's the details that count.
I took care of everything.
What shall I tell them? I don't even know what I'm to tell them.
Just answer the questions.
But I can't do that. I'd say the wrong thing. I know I would. By the way, what are you going to say, Henry?
I'm going to tell them what happened.
I'm curious. What did happen? I didn't actually see it, you know.
Aunt Mildred imagined she was a very ill woman. And just this morning, she asked me to get her the sleeping pills.
Yes, that's right.
Of course, I never suspected that she planned to take an overdose of them. But she did. Didn't she?
Yes. Yes, she did. We saw her take them, didn't we?
No, dear. We didn't see her take them. Mm-hmm.
We didn't? Well, where were we?
You were in the garden, in the summer house, when it happened. You were cutting some flowers, weren't you?
Oh. Oh, I don't want to say that, Henry. If I was in the summer house, somebody might have seen me.
Which is a nice alibi, isn't it?
Oh. Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Oh, yes, it is. How clever of you to think of it, dear.
Then you were in the summer house, weren't you?
Yes. Yes, I was. I was cutting some flowers.
Exactly.
Shouldn't they have been here by now? I know they should have been here long before this. Henry, put down that magazine. How can you read at a time like this?
Very interesting article.
Well, when are you going to finish it? I want you to talk to me.
In a moment, dear.
You used to talk to me. We'd sit for hours and talk. Whenever we went out dining, we'd talk and talk and... Now you never say anything to me.
I'm listening, dear. You can talk to me.
That's exactly what I mean. I talk to you, but all you do is answer. You never start the conversation.
I'm sorry, dear. I do the best I can.
Henry, you know something? One of the first things I want to do is wear her diamond pin. It's a kind of retribution for all the times I've asked her to let me wear it and she wouldn't. But it's all right now, though, isn't it?
I suppose so. In a few days.
I wonder what else she has hidden away. You know something? We don't even know how wealthy she is. She could be worth millions and we don't even know about it.
I know how much she's worth.
You do? But why haven't you told me? How much is she worth?
About a million and a quarter.
A million and a quarter? That much? Why, darling, we're millionaires.
Are we?
Millionaires. Think of it. Oh, Henry. Darling, everything is suddenly opening up for us all at once. All the plans we made, that trip to Paris. I've wanted to go to Paris ever since I can remember. And now we can go, can't we?
I suppose so.
When? Next month? It will be October and so crisp and lovely. We'll book passage on the Queen Mary. And I want to wear her diamond pin with a beautiful new evening gown and dance after dinner. Just dance and dance. It's been so long since we've laughed and danced together. Henry, how long has it been? It seems years and years. Have you ever thought about something?
About what, dear?
Well, here we are, just this side of middle age, and what sort of fun have we had? We haven't had any. Not really. We've just been waiting. For years we've been waiting. Waiting for her to die. Waiting to get rich. Waiting out our lives. Henry, I just thought of something extremely funny. You know how we've been waiting all these years? Well, do you realize what we're doing now? We're waiting. Waiting for the police to arrive. Waiting for them to take us away. Henry, we've made a terrible mistake. They'll know we did it. Oh, why don't they come? Why don't they come on?
Come on. Come on, drink this.
Drink it. You're getting all upset over nothing, dear. That's
better. I'm so sorry. It was very silly of me.
It's all right. It's all right. I understand.
Oh, you can be so comforting. You can really be affectionate when you try.
Yes, dear.
Henry, do you know how I've decided I'm going to act when they arrive? I'm not going to say anything. I won't say a word. If they ask questions, I'll pretend I don't hear them. They'll think it's shock, won't they? Don't you think that's the best way?
I wouldn't worry about it one way or the other.
Oh, Henry, why are you always such a wet blanket?
Am I?
Yes, and you know it.
Well, I'm sorry.
I think you do it maliciously.
I'm not aware of it, dear.
Sorry. I don't mean to be cross, but it's like getting up to a certain point and finding there isn't any place to go. It's very frustrating.
I imagine it would be.
Henry, darling, what are you doing over there?
Nothing, dear.
Please. Please come over here and talk to me. If I'm irritable, it's because I'm frightened. I know I shouldn't be, but I am.
In a moment, dear.
Henry, have you ever had the feeling that this has all happened somewhere before? I just had that sensation. It's almost as if I were a thing apart and could see everything that is happening now. I could see you standing over there by the window, and I could see me here, frightened and alone. That's an omen. It's as if Aunt Mildred were alive. And we're dead. I'm dead. And you're dead too, Henry. We're dead. Isn't it funny? Oh. And what a pity. We were so methodical.
Florence.
We're dead, Henry. Oh, you haven't realized it yet, but I have, I know.
Florence.
Somewhere you forgot a little detail. Oh, you don't know what it is, but they will. And they're going to take us away.
You're wrong, dear.
Why do you keep saying I'm wrong?
Because they're not coming.
What do you mean they're not coming?
I didn't call the police, Florence.
But you did call them. I saw you call them.
But I didn't. I only pretended to call them.
Pretended to call them? But why? Why did you
do
that to me?
I forgot a little detail.
Oh. Oh, thank heavens. It was intuitional, remember? I reminded you of it, didn't I?
Yes, you reminded me of it. I have you to thank for that, dear.
Yes, well, don't keep me waiting. Tell me what it was.
The detail?
Yes, what was it?
You. Oh.
Yes. I thought so. I've been a drag on you, haven't I?
Not always, but you are now.
You know something? You've been a drag on me, too. The whole thing has been wrong. All wrong for years, hasn't it? And now you stand before me with a gun. And I feel perfectly calm.
It's the shock.
I'm glad you're going to use a gun. It'll be very quick that way. When did you decide?
A few minutes ago. I had the idea earlier, but I thought I'd wait and see.
Henry, why haven't we ever understood each other? Oh, I used to try so desperately to get through to you.
We just never had the spark, I guess.
But you did love me, didn't you, once?
Yes, very much.
Then tell me, what happened?
I don't know.
Oh, I wish we'd never had anything. Anything at all. Then at least we'd have had each other.
It wasn't the money.
It was always the money. It had breakfast with us every morning. It slept in our thoughts at night. Well, you will have it now. But what about the police? What will you tell them now?
I'll think of something.
Of course, you could tell them that I was the one who poisoned Aunt Mildred and then tried to shoot you, and then you tried to get the gun away from me and I shot myself.
If possible.
Do me a favor.
If I can.
Kiss me.
It's not easy to kiss a person one moment,
then shoot her the next.
You mean you're not equal to it?
That's not the point. It's just too incongruous. You think I'm not going to do it, don't you?
No, I was thinking of something else entirely.
Goodbye, Sonna.
Au revoir, Henry.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of today's radio drama, When the Police Arrive, starring Joan Crawford and brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Before we return to the second act, here is Carnation's home service director, Mary Blake, with a wonderful recipe for rice pudding. What do you call it, Mary?
I call it Carnation Creamy Rice Pudding, Art, because this particular rice pudding does have a creamier consistency than you can get with ordinary bottled milk. We can thank the fact that Carnation is heat-refined for that.
Well, if the ladies listening have their paper and pencils ready, I think we ought to hear about how to make Carnation creamy rice pudding. Let's have it, Mary.
All right. Here are the ingredients for 4 to 6 servings. 1 2/3 cups, that's a large can of Carnation evaporated milk. 1 2/3 cups water. 1/2 cup granulated sugar. 1/2 teaspoon salt. 1/2 cup dry rice. 1/4 teaspoon nutmeg, and 1 tablespoon lemon juice.
Better let me repeat that, Mary, before you go ahead. The ingredients again are 1 2/3 cups, 1 large can, Carnation evaporated milk, diluted with 1 2/3 cups water, 1/2 cup granulated sugar, 1/2 teaspoon salt, 1/2 cup dry rice, 1/4 teaspoon nutmeg, and 1 tablespoon lemon juice. Now, what's next, Mary?
Next, heat the Carnation, water, sugar, and salt together and pour over the dry rice in buttered casserole. Bake in 325-degree oven for about an hour, stirring once or twice while baking.
There you are, ladies. Carnation creamy rice pudding.
And friends, you'll find this rice pudding has a golden brown top with a rich and delicious flavor underneath.
For which you can thank heat-refined double-rich Carnation, the milk that performs cooking miracles not possible with ordinary bottled milk. Right, Mary?
Perfectly right, Art. And now, if you'll excuse me, I'll get back to my kitchen.
Sure thing, Mary. Thanks for coming by. Don't forget, friends, to try Mary Blake's recipe for Carnation Creamy Rice Pudding. A creamier, more delicious rice pudding because it's made with Carnation, the milk that whips. We return now to the second act of When the Police Arrive, starring Joan Crawford in the role of Florence Jennings.
Are you all through with your foolishness now, Henry?
But you're still...
alive. There were only blanks in the gun, darling.
Blanks?
But I might as well warn you that the bullets in this gun are real.
You mean you had this plan?
Well, in advance. You don't think I really would have died so magnanimously, do you?
What are you going to do now?
Oh, I'll play around with you a little bit, and then I'll shoot you. Turn about, you know. In case you're curious, I simply included your plan in my own. That is, except the little details. I didn't bother about them. It isn't every woman, you know, who has the opportunity of being shot by her husband and lives to do something about it.
When did you put the blanks in the gun?
This afternoon. Remember? When I came in from the summer house and you were telling me what happened.
Which all goes to prove men never know what they're married to.
And serves them right.
When did the masquerade begin?
Oh, years ago. You wouldn't even remember. Your mind was off somewhere foundering in money. And I just drifted off to myself, and that's where I've been ever since. One cozy little monologue after another.
What are you going to do?
Call the police. I think it's about time they arrived, don't you?
Florence, in the name of heaven, you don't know what you're doing. We can still get out of this.
We, Henry? I wasn't aware that you were to be included. Police department, please.
Florence, you're throwing away our lives.
Don't be ridiculous, Henry. We've never had any lives. Remember what I said about being dead? Henry, I think you're getting nervous. Calm down, dear. Desk Sergeant, Mrs. Florence Jennings speaking. There's been a very tragic accident at 210 Manchester Heights Road. Could you send out a patrol car and an ambulance right away? Thank you.
Well, up to now, I'll have to give you credit for being pretty clever, Florence.
But calling the police was a stupid thing to do.
It's just like you to think so. You still don't understand, do you?
Understand what?
That I'm going to shoot you.
Oh, nonsense. You couldn't kill a
Florence. But I can you. And I've got excellent reason.
Come closer, dear. Don't back away. I just want to look at you. You've grown fat with the years. The idleness, that's what did it. Tell me, have the years been kind to me?
You're still very beautiful, if that's what you mean.
As beautiful as when I married you?
Woman's vanity.
I have a gun, you know. Talk, Henry.
No. And what a silly thing to ask.
But with the money and the property, I might be able to pick up another husband someplace, mightn't I?
Darling, will you please drop the dramatics?
Why?
Because I want to kiss you.
Why?
Because I love you.
You love me because you're afraid of the gun in my hand.
That has nothing to do with
it. You were perfectly willing to kill me, remember?
I must have been mad. Let me kiss you just once more.
Stay back, Henry. I warn you.
I don't.
You're going to shoot me.
You're trying to play on my emotions. It's cowardly.
Yes, it is.
You're attractive to me, and you know it.
Yes, I know it.
But it's not enough.
Give me that gun, Paul.
No!
Well, congratulations.
Mm-hmm. You didn't leave me, did you, darling?
All right. Help me.
Of course. Here, into this chair. There you are. Oh, darling, I'm so sorry I had to do it. But there was no other way.
Why?
Well, I kept hoping you'd change. Only a while ago I thought, now that Aunt Mildred's dead, the thing that's been between us and happiness, all these years, I thought that suddenly you'd wake up. I thought you might take me in your arms and tell me to be very brave. And oh, my darling, it would have been worth all those years.
Florence, I'm sorry I missed your expectations.
It wasn't your fault, really. It was just the way things came out, that's all.
As you said, all those years waiting for her to die. And we had so much more waiting in each other. I never knew it.
I knew it, Henry. But I could never seem to get through to you. You wouldn't talk to me.
Well, it's over now.
Yes, it's over. And the funny part is that coincidence stepped in with a final jest.
What do you mean?
Aunt Mildred had a heart attack. She called to me in the garden. The pills were never used. You see, she died naturally.
That's a good one. That's very good.
I'll remember you to Paris, Henry. To every leaf and street of it. And to the Queen Mary. And dancing after dinner. And as for you, Aunt Mildred, you will pay the final tribute. There. I'll wear the diamond pin. See how it sparkles. Isn't it beautiful, Henry? Like stars. Oh, all those years, and now, sleep, Henry. I still haven't made up my mind how I should act when the police arrive. That must be they now. It really is important, you know. It's always important to a woman how she acts. Maybe I should cry. My love. Oh, I know. Now I know.
And so the curtain comes down on the final act of this week's Stars Over Hollywood show, as presented by Carnation Evaporated Milk and starring Joan Crawford. In just a moment, we'll have news about next week's show. Meantime, how about a curtain call, Miss Crawford?
Certainly, Art. You know, as I recall, the last time I appeared on Stars Over Hollywood, after the show, you treated me to a delicious cup of coffee. Is it still the custom?
It sure is, Miss Crawford. Your cup is ready and waiting for you. And you'll find it tastes extra good, too. In fact, there's extra satisfaction from coffee within reach of everyone whose cream pitcher is filled with Carnation evaporated milk.
It does make a difference, doesn't it?
I'll say it does. Coffee creamed with Carnation tastes richer, smoother, more full-bodied. Carnation has the consistency of good, rich cream. It's heavy enough to whip. And believe me, what that does for coffee is something every coffee drinker ought to know about. Why, millions of coffee lovers actually like Carnation better than cream for their coffee. And yet, Carnation costs less than half as much as cream. So can you blame us for saying, no matter how good coffee is, it not only pays, but it's better when you cream it with Carnation. And Joan Crawford, for your excellent performance today, we want you to have this bouquet of red and white carnations, just like those pictured on every can of Carnation evaporated milk.
Thank you, Art. The flowers are beautiful, and you've been a grand host. Now tell me, what's your show about?
On next week's Stars Over Hollywood, we'll have Dan Duryea. He'll appear in a highly dramatic story.
Well, I'll be listening, Art. And now goodbye and good luck.
Goodbye, Miss Crawford. The story on today's Stars Over Hollywood was written by William Paget. Supporting Miss Crawford was Ted Osborne. Special music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. The program was transcribed and directed by Hans Conried. Ladies, when you shop for groceries today, be sure to have Carnation, the world's favorite brand of evaporated milk, on your shopping list. No other kind of milk has as many uses as Carnation.
Carnation for cooking.
Carnation for coffee.
Carnation for baby feeding.
Good, good, good. For milk that's extra good, you should get the brand that's called Carnation. Rich, rich, rich. For milk that's creamy rich, you should get the brand that's called Carnation.
And now for the Carnation Company and Stars Over Hollywood, this is Art Ballinger suggesting that you be sure to listen next Saturday for Dan Duryea. And be sure to see the George Burns and Gracie Allen television show brought to you by Carnation Evaporated Milk. Stay tuned now for Grand Central Station, which follows immediately over most of these stations. Answer the call of the 1952 Red Cross Fund campaign. Make your contribution a generous one. Stars Over Hollywood comes to you from our Hollywood studios and is heard in Canada over the Dominion Network of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.